Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
We got charities. We got everything you want.
But what? That's all I got.
Yeah, I don't remember the next line.
I think it's something, they all get in for free.
You'd think that I would remember that.
You would think, since you guys, did that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It's stuck in my head, though, obviously.
The song that gets stuck in my head the most about anything CFD.
Yeah.
Guess what it is.
CFD is here. Give money. Give money.
Bingo.
Shout out to Ecology.
Hey,
which got out
Ecology.
Shout out twice now.
How? Twice?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about seeds?
Yeah. And they will be talking.
You will be talking.
People will be talking.
All of the talking will happen.
Talks around.
Let's talk.
Let's talk about things. Right when I was speaking, I immediately was like, no.
I know. I know. Had a moment where I was just like, oh, is she going to say it?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't say it.
Yeah. Are here. Welcome to Podcasts for Good. This is season 3, episode 25. Today, we are talking about growing food from seeds.
Where else does food grow from if it's not from seeds?
Your mom's house, mostly.
Ouch.
Yeah.
But she grows them with seeds.
Does she?
No, they don't grow food, but yeah. That was just a hard time.
I know. My name is Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive. Today, I am joined by special guest.
I'm Jerrica Ferguson. I'm the marketing and development coordinator.
Ooh, director. Almost a promotion.
Almost. Yeah. I give myself promotions every day.
Yeah, well, you know, if you don't do it, who will?
No one. I'm looking out for me.
Yeah, number one star player, baby.
Look, I just kind of made this and it looks like an R.
It does look like an R. Your paperclip molding skills are impeccable.
I think I could sell it on Etsy.
I think you could. I think you could. It'd be great as a pin for anybody whose name is Roberta or
I should give it to my sister-in-law.
Raymond.
She'll definitely appreciate it.
Oh, there you go. Risa. See?
Yeah.
R.
Now, there we go.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So that's a Christmas gift already?
That's it.
That's it. One.
Oh, my niece. She could poke her eye out, though.
Yeah, she could poke her eye out. She's still little.
She's still little. Oh, wait.
She probably doesn't understand that...
she shouldn't swallow it?
Yeah.
I'll wait, then.
Yeah. Give it a few years. So today, like I said, we're talking about growing food from seeds. We're going to be joined by two people. Kara Lourdes, she's the executive director, and Michaela Colley, she is a program director. They both are from Organic Seed Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jerrica... As far as growing food from seeds, have you grown food from seeds?
I have. I've grown kale, kale, cabbage, and what's the term? Cauliflower. And I've also grown basil, mm-hmm. and also grown chives.
Okay.
Yep. And green onions.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like all of those are really green.
I'm pro-green.
Yeah.
I'm a pro-green kind of gal.
Yeah, you like to eat the green things?
I like to eat the green things. And then I've also grown, which is not food, but flowers, like tulips, sunflowers.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. But combs from seeds, and
that's
they help
true.
Bees and things.
They do help bees. Bees are important.
Bees make our food grow.
I love coffee. Please, let's save the bees, everybody.
I love all things, so we need to just save the bees. Turn your cell phones off.
I love all things.
Yeah.
Statement
Optimism.
Of the year. Statement of the year. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, it's June. Way to really knock all the other statements of the year out of
yeah.
contention.
Yeah. put those to the side.
Yeah, forget it. I love all things. So we talked a little bit about this, and we talk about, of course, planting and seeds with both Kara and Michaela. But question of the podcast, Jerrica Ferguson, if you could plant a seed to grow anything, anything.
Like money?
Yeah, what would you grow?
Money first.
Yeah.
Because I need it. but actually, I just was talking to my mom yesterday. Uh-huh. I'm thinking I'm actually going to start growing peas and carrots.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Why peas and carrots? What happened with your mom to make you say that?
Well, I mean, like, I just told her, like, if you could find some planter boxes to, like...
Oh, you're like, Mom, I just want to do this. Can you help me out?
Yeah, because, like, I just realized, like, I just want to start growing my own food more. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm tired of having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly, like, a thing. Like, I want to be able to grow my own food. And so I've, like, I won't be able to obviously grow everything because I live in a very, very small place. But some of the things, like, snack foods, like, why not just be able to grab some carrots or peas or tomatoes or...
When you said snack foods, the picture in my mind was a tree...
Full of chips?
No, well, sort of, like, little mini bags of popcorn.
Oh.
That's what came
to mind. Could you imagine if popcorn came from trees? Like it popped, like little pop, like it you just pull, pop. Like they like pick them off and you just eat from a tree.
So it's like cotton.
So they'd be like cotton candy. Like it'd be like what, you know, when people look at broccoli and they're like, oh, they're mini trees. It's like cauliflower.
Yeah.
That'd be a popcorn tree.
Popcorn tree. Yeah. I could do a popcorn tree.
I'd get down.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. If I could grow anything, I would definitely grow money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what other options you would grow.
Yeah. I mean, you could grow anything. Like I thought about growing a vacation, but I don't know. How that would work exactly.
Like, do you just, like, grow sand and then, like, makes a beach?
Yeah, or maybe grow some plane tickets.
Free plane tickets.
And I'd just be like, as soon as I get on the plane first before the person who bought those tickets online. So, like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like, you're above
these
first class.
These are organic tickets.
Yeah.
I grew them in my yard.
I wish that I had... money ticket or money trees.
Money tree would be nice,
but no one else could grow them.
Yeah, see, that's something like if you had a money tree,
but I think then the dollar would go down because then
everybody
would grow.
Can't have a money tree.
Yeah, but everybody would have a money tree.
Well, yeah,
like it's not my right to keep all the money.
Maybe instead of growing money, we should just grow happiness.
Oh.
On that note,
all right.
Yeah, on that note, we're going to move on to the interview with Kara and Michaela, both with Organic Seed Alliance. So here is that interview. Okay, today we're here with Kara Loris, the Executive Director, and Michaela Colley, the Program Director for Organic Seed Alliance. Kara, Michaela, thanks for joining us today.
So much for hosting.
Yes, thanks.
Can you give us a little history about Organic Seed Alliance and what you do for the community?
Yeah, I've been here for just going to be 3 years in September, and it's a fantastic organization, and I'm going to have Michaela go through the history because she's been here and she's been through the ropes and the successes.
Awesome.
Organic Seed Alliance is now, how old are we? 15 years?
Yeah, we're just going to be getting through our 16th year.
Right, right. And we grew out of a prior nonprofit called Abundant Life Seed Foundation.
Okay.
And Abundant Life was founded in the 1970s, and it was really a network of small-scale seed producers who had a mission of conserving biodiversity and producing seed in an ecological manner. And in 2003, we changed our name and changed our program focus. What Abundant Life did was, Abundant Life was a seed catalog that those ecological farmers sold their seed through collectively.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2003, for the first time ever, the National Organic Program required organic farmers to plant organic seed if it was commercially available.
Okay.
So what that did for the first time was created a market opportunity for organic seed and an increasing interest in how to grow seed organically. And when you start asking, you know, how to grow it organically, of course, then you also start asking what do farmers need and want for organic farming systems in terms of which varieties and what qualities of crops. So this opened up a new era of breeding specifically for organic systems, trialing, variety trialing, evaluating how varieties work in organic systems, And then also learning how to produce seed organically without the use of chemical inputs. And so Abundant Life all of a sudden had an increasing interest mm-hmm. in learning from those farmers and new farmers wanting to move into seed, organic farmers wanting to diversify their operation to produce organic seed. So when we shifted our program focus, we let go of the catalog business and began focusing on training farmers how to grow seed organically, mm-hmm. breeding new varieties, bringing public breeders and farmers together to breed varieties for organic systems. And with those two program areas, research and education, soon thereafter followed the development of our advocacy program, which is focused on supporting policy that helps the success of organic seed.
Very nice. You mentioned a little bit about breeding and those seed stewards. Since you guys are helping farmers now, who was essentially doing it before? Like, how was that... why did that go away? Are farmers right now not breeding their own seeds, essentially? Is that kind of the issue?
Well, over the last century, we're lucky in the United States that we do have public plant breeding programs.
Okay.
So these are university-based and USDA-based plant breeders whose job is really to breed for the good of the public. But over the last century... plant breeding has become increasingly privatized, and most varieties that farmers grow are actually varieties that were bred by private companies.
Okay.
Not necessarily anything inherently bad about a private company uh-huh. working in plant breeding, but often those larger companies, and we read in the news and know that today we have even larger and larger
right.
mergers happening where
yeah.
Bayer and Monsanto just joined forces.
Mm.
What happens with those very large companies that are managing the vast majority of our plant genetic resources for crops, their interest is not in the small-scale, diversified, regional organic producer. They're
yeah.
breeding fewer varieties for bigger markets. And so plant breeding never really went away, but the focus and emphasis on what the needs are
yeah.
in terms of crop traits and genetics for diversified, regional, small-scale, ecological producers
mm-hmm.
Is not really part of the large corporation's product portfolio.
Right.
So
do you see that there's a lot of decrease in seed diversity then?
Well, absolutely. There's been a number of reports that have shown decrease in diversity of crop types and varieties available.
Yeah.
But we also have a lot of varieties that organic farmers use that are what we call heirloom varieties, right? The heritage varieties.
Okay.
And those varieties, you know, there's conservation efforts to keep them alive. That was a lot of the focus of Abundant Life and organizations like Seed Savers Exchange. And many of those heritage varieties are preserving the diversity of the past and have a lot of the quality traits that we desire in our crops, like
yeah.
good flavor in tomatoes
mm-hmm.
as an example.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we do is then also work with farmers to improve those heirloom varieties in terms of traits like disease resistance and regional adaptation, and work with the farmers to improve the productive
yeah.
qualities of those varieties so they work better in a farming system.
What do you tell farmers that are kind of maybe questioning of what are the benefits and what are the benefits that you tell them to use organic seed? And, like, what do they expect from their farm or produce, I guess?
Sarah, you want to chime in on this one?
Sure. Organic seed, of course, is grown without chemical inputs and pesticides, as Michaela said. And so organic growers who want their produce to thrive under those organic practices are going to have a little bit of a leg up with some of these organic seed varieties. And in addition to that regulatory requirement Michaela mentioned at the beginning, by getting into this seed movement and using organic seed, they have that ability to possibly adapt seed varieties to their own farm to improve them, as Michaela was saying.
Yeah.
And so they can get varieties to perform extremely well over time on their own land.
Cool.
And that's a huge advantage.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So there's also the aspect of when you buy organic seed, you're supporting a business or, you know, breeding efforts that have organic farmers' interest in mind. And keeping that stewardship of genetic resources and the development, the research and innovation of organic seed within the organic community and the organic trade, I think is very important to ensure that farmers have access to the seed that they mm-hmm. need, and they're not dependent on that fundamental input coming from a company who's not yeah. really interested in serving their needs.
Right. So there's a lot of great land in Washington State for farms and for planting and growing, but I'm curious, how big is the market for organic seeds, and are there a lot of Washington State farms using them?
Well, we're the only organization nationally that's actually tracking usage of organic seed. We have a report that we release every 5 years called the State of Organic Seed Report.
Okay.
And you can look it up at stateoforganicseed.org. And what we do is a national survey of farmers and query them about their organic seed usage.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see overall, across all crop types, about 67%, I think was the number, last number, of the seed, or the percent of the seed that organic farmers are planting as is organic seed.
Okay.
However, what we also see is the larger scale farms often use a lower percentage than the smaller scale farms. So that 67% does not cover the total acreage. It's the percent that that the average farm is using. So certainly there is a lot of organic seed being planted, and a lot more than there was 10 years ago when we started tracking usage.
Mm-hmm.
But there's obviously also a large market opportunity. And in many cases, those larger scale farms, the varieties that they're using are sometimes dictated by the buyer if you're in a processing business. And so what we need is those bigger businesses to also get on board and support the organic farmers' development of varieties that work well within that processing system.
Yeah, and in addition to Washington farmers growing organic seed for their production farms and their market farms, Washington growers are also growing seed as a crop. And so we help with the education and training and resources that those farmers need to add that to their farm business plan. And we have a great climate for some of the seed varieties that are very popular right now in the organic sector, including the brassicas. And so we see a lot of seed grown in our region by these farmers, and we want to help support them do that.
So when you talked about the larger farms and using organic seed less, have you seen any reason for that or any data behind that?
What we hear from larger farms is that often the variety that they plant is determined by the buyer. So they're required to plant specific varieties for the market. And if that variety is not available organically, then they're not able to, you know, they have to plant the conventional variety for their market success. The other reason is sometimes quantity. We do hear that sometimes price is a factor, although price is not considered a reason not to use organic seed according to the regulations. But of course, when you get into larger scale production, the cost of seed input is significant too.
Yeah, and when those rules came on, there wasn't much of an organic, a certified organic seed industry. And so part of our program work has been to try to grow our capacity as an organic community mm-hmm. to produce organic seed.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of just touched on it. So really what it comes down to is the essentially the person that's buying at these farms determines what the seeds are. It's really, or do you feel like there's too much regulation and that is the issue?
No, you know, the organic program, the USDA Certified Organic Program, National Organic Program, does not force farmers to use organic seed. And we have never pushed for that regulation mm-hmm. to be enforced to the fullest extent, simply because we don't want organic farmers to not succeed because there isn't enough quantity
or enough
available diversity of the crop types, of the variety types that they need. So there is still conventional seed allowed if an equivalent or suitable organic, organically available option is not available.
Okay.
So again, it's kind of this push and pull of we need to build the supply,
yeah,
a quantity available. We need to ensure that the varieties that are available work well for organic farms. And in some cases, that requires also developing new markets.
Okay.
That if there's a variety that the grocery store customer is familiar with, that is conventional and not available organically, how do we work with those market chains to then educate the public and promote and support the market success of the organically available crop types?
Okay. No, thank you. I appreciate that. So, obviously, seeds grow into food. On a smaller scale, though, are there things that, like, the average Washingtonian who grows food from seeds can do to keep any kind of pests or any kind of attacking organic matter out of their garden, like a natural solution to keep pests away?
Well, a big focus of organic plant breeding is breeding for resistance. So that's breeding for disease resistance, that's breeding for pest resistance. There's naturally genetic diversity from one plant to the next, even within a variety. And so when Kara was talking about the ability to save seed allows you to adapt to your environment, part of that is selecting the plants in that variety when you grow it out for seed that survive the pest, that survive the disease. And those are the ones that then contribute their genetics to the next generation and over time develop better resistance to those pests and disease. You know, there's certainly other pest management tactics that organic farmers use, and one of those is crop diversity.
Having
a more biodiverse farm means that, you know, if one crop gets hit by a pest, your entire production that year is not lost, right? And having more diversity on a farm also provides habitat for beneficial insects and things like that. The plant breeding combined with the farming system, then as those two come together, it's a systems approach to pest management.
And farmers and gardeners who really want to dig into it, we have variety trial reports. And so these are reports for projects we've done with other farmers where we document all of the performance criteria and the traits that we're seeing in a set of varieties, set of cultivars that are being tested in the field. And you can check to see if, you know, in, for farms in our area, how these varieties have performed. And it specifically says how they've resisted the different diseases that those individual varieties are prone to. So there's a lot of information that both gardeners and farmers can use, and they can find a lot of it on our website.
Speaking of that report, do you guys then use that when you go out to different farmers, or, you know, are these tips available on your website or during your trainings and things like that of how to diversify your gardens?
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of publications available for free to download on our website. There are publications on, as Kara said, the report of how different varieties perform in organic systems. There's also publications on how to produce seed organically, how to breed on your farm,
cool.
A lot of different publications. We're also partners in several collaborative projects with universities across the United States where we work with organic plant breeders and farmers and seed companies to breed for organic systems, but also, as Kara said, conduct those variety trials and share the results together. So we're part of the Northern Organic Vegetable Improvement Collaborative, a partnership with Oregon State University, Organic Seed Alliance, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Cornell. So across the Northern Tier, we're all testing some of the same varieties and sharing the results of those reports. So there's even more robustness to the information that we're testing materials in a lot of different environments.
Through your research, have you guys seen, and maybe say specific for Washington State, that more farms are going to be using organic seed in the future, or do you feel like it's maintaining the same?
Oh, it's definitely going to grow. One of our policy priorities is working with the National Organic Program to see that more and more of our organic food is grown from organic seed, because we do believe it is the basis of our organic food system.
Yeah.
And as we grow the capacity in our organic seed production sector, it's going to give farmers so many more choices, and access will become easier, and so I don't see it going anywhere but growing, and we're optimistic that the organic program is actually going to be doing, the USDA program is going to be doing more to encourage that.
That's awesome. Good. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to Organic Seed Alliance. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
One of the most important things donations do for us, because we are in these programs that are super important with partners at universities and nationally, and we have a lot of our staff and Michaela and her research team committed to a lot of that work, but we get inquiries all the time from farmers calling in to say, I'm trying to find this, or I'm having trouble with that, and so by donating, you help us have the capacity to be responsive when a new problem comes up, when farmers need help. When our network of farmers right here are working on a project or want to start a project, it gives us more capacity to do that. Michaela, maybe you can add a little bit more to that.
Well, I think the advocacy side is also very important. We are fortunate to have, as I said, a number of collaborative research and education projects going on. But advocacy work requires responsiveness and timeliness and the ability for our team to show up and have a voice on a national and a regional level for policy that supports organic seed.
Do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, we are super excited that we're going to be hosting once again an annual community field day and variety tasting event at Finn River Farm and Cidery in
Washington. I love Finn River.
Finn River Farm is where our research farm is located, and we're a land partner there, and it's a wonderful place to be doing our organic research. And folks can come and tour our field and see these new varieties that we sometimes call the heirlooms of tomorrow that we're developing, as well as these trials, and see all the different types of any particular vegetable that is being tested out in the field. And then we take those wonderful vegetables and we showcase their culinary potential in a tasting event where we get feedback from the public on which varieties they like best.
Finn River
is amazing.
It's a
really fabulous event, September 30th, and you can check our website and reserve a spot, and we hope we'll see you there.
Great. That's wonderful.
Well, Kara, Michaela, thank you so much for calling in and joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for all your work you do.
All right, that was Kara Loris and Michaela Colley, the both directors, executive director and program director, respectively, of Organic Seed Alliance. So, Jerrica?
So, Heather?
How do you feel about organic seeds now?
Well, we need more. Yeah. We need to keep going. And it makes me feel really excited that that's the direction that we are heading towards. I think it's really interesting that they talked about this decrease in seed diversity, and how important it is to have diversity, not only in seeds, but also in farms, that can help with insects, or that can just help with like more growth in case any pests or things go there. I thought it was really interesting when they talked about that State of Organic Seed report, about talking about what farmers do use this and seeing that trend grow. I think it's really great that the Organic Seed Alliance also helps train farmers and teach them so they can actually grow their own things and give back that accountability and like also like empowerment to say like, look, I made this like seed in a way, right? Because they can do that. And I just think it's really a unique organization that is clearly across the nation making a huge impact, not only here in Washington, but also in places like Wisconsin that they're talking about.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you
So think? I think that when it comes to growing food, for the most part, you know, we're talking like small scale, like you and me, right? We grow some plant in our inner house or out where we can manage to grow outside, because like you and I both don't have space.
No.
So I don't think that a lot of people think about science when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
What goes into the plant that you have? What goes into the seeds that you have? And then how the seeds that we have now, I mean, are they genetically similar to seeds that we had in, say, the 1920s?
Right.
Like how much things have changed because, you know, environment has changed. Uh-huh. I think the science is fascinating.
It is very, I like how much reporting they do. My like big nerd side of me.
Yeah,
comes out.
I did check out that organic state of organic seed report beforehand.
Uh-huh.
It is really fascinating. Yeah. I'll put a link up for it because it's definitely something people should check out.
Cool. I think like, and I don't know. I liked all around what they discussed, particularly when it came to benefits, and also just speaking really truly about the reason the foods that we get from these big farms is because that's who the buyer is, and the one that wants those things really dictate what's being grown. And so if we want something different and we want more diversity, the people need to speak up and like really contact,
vote with your money.
Right, like if we want to see more organics or we want to see more local farms in your stores, like then that's where we need to start moving towards. And I just appreciated them having an honest conversation about it and how much they've worked with state agencies here, like Ecology, also the USDA. I think it's really cool to see this kind of nonprofit group also work directly with governments and organizations like farms around the state and nation to help really grow organic seeds and like best practices, really.
Absolutely. So before we get into trivia, I just want to ask, when you come on the podcast, do you prefer trivia or do you prefer me shouting out facts at your face?
I prefer facts. I'm not a trivia person. Philip
is a trivia person.
Loves trivia, and I
hope he's jealous.
I hope he listens to this and realizes that I don't like trivia as much as he thinks.
Boom!
Everybody likes trivia.
Oh.
Now, if you just gave me like Washington State like symbols,
you're gonna ace it.
Yeah, but it's fine.
That's only because you've learned those and they're ingrained in your psyche.
The problem with trivia is I don't like being
osmosis.
Wrong. Where I like learning about facts.
Jerrica likes to be right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So we're going to do facts. Statement of the year.
Yeah.
Just over time.
I like giving out trivia, though. Like, I like saying them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I have trivia for you.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you this. Okay. Mm. Now, there are four options.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you.
Should I say the four options out loud?
Not yet. Okay. I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you about something that grows.
Okay.
Okay. And for the most part, I think all of these are foods. Yeah, they're all foods. Okay. I know, weird. Nothing is a money tree, unfortunately. So I want you to guess whether or not this food item grows on the ground, grows on a bush, grows on a vine, or grows from a tree.
Got it.
Okay. So that's just for you to shout out which of the four options.
I like the display.
Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna do that for Jerrica.
I appreciate
that'd be good.
It.
Okay, so quick as you can come up
with, okay? Got it.
Orange.
Tree.
Got it. Asparagus.
Ground.
Yes. Watermelon.
Bush? Like a vine, like it's on the ground.
It's on the ground. Yes. Strawberries?
Ground, like vine, bush, ground. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're on a vine, but they sit on the ground. That's confusing.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think of vine, I think of grapes, which are, like, above the ground, because they're built up. But if you weren't to do that, then they would be technically on the ground.
Yeah. So
strawberries are on the ground.
So, definitely, grapes are vine. But strawberries, the internet technically says they vine.
Right. They do vine, but you can all, but they are
but
on
they
the
grow
ground.
On the ground, yeah. So, those vines grow on the ground.
Yeah.
So, you get
you know
some
I'm saying?
Credit, yeah.
I got it right.
Apple.
Apple tree.
Blueberries.
Bush.
Yeah. Cloves?
Don't know. I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Cloves. Bush?
They grow on trees.
Oh.
Yeah. Peanuts.
Ground.
Yeah, it's weird. Kiwi?
Tree?
That was a great face. You'd think, but they grow on crazy, like, vine. They, like,
oh, I should guess.
Sprout.
They're kind of like a
strawberry. Weird. Yeah, they sprout weird. Cocoa beans.
tree.
Yes. Apricot?
I'm just thinking of dry apricot, and I don't, like
tree? That doesn't grow. It does grow on a tree. An apricot grows on a tree. Cinnamon.
Oh, I know this. It's a tree, because you get it from the bark.
Absolutely.
I just learned that this weekend.
Hey, nice.
Shout out to San Francisco.
Oh.
Conservatory of Flowers.
See? Timeliness. Cherries.
They're like on a...
Hand gestures?
Uh-huh. It's like a... Would you consider it a vine? Because they grow in bunches on a tree, I guess?
They grow in bunches on a tree.
Okay.
Yeah, so tree. Olives?
Bush? Vine.
No, they grow on trees. Yeah, and the trees... The trees themselves, like, they're gnarly looking, like, they're trunks, and they grow, like, crazy shapes.
Do these olives, like, could you just pop an olive in your mouth from a tree?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, depending on the olive and the variety.
I should look up olive trees.
Yeah, they are pretty. Hmm. Okay, pineapple.
Tree.
Ground. Pineapples grow out of bushes on the ground.
That is very
And pineapple fields are maybe, like... Just a few feet high. It's weird.
They could really take you out the knees.
Yes, they could. Because those tops are really
are
pokey.
Sharp.
Yeah, super pokey.
Well, even though they're just pokey.
Avocado? Okay.
Tree.
Yeah.
I should
They grow
that.
Big trees in California. Coffee.
Tree.
This
bush?
Is bush. Yeah. Brussels sprouts?
Brussels sprouts. They're on that weird stick. It's like a vine, I guess. I don't know. It's like a thick stalk.
It's
Is
a
it
stalk
ground?
That grows out of the ground. Yeah. Leeks.
They're ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always dirty when I buy
they
it.
They are dirty. Cantaloupe.
Is it like the ground?
Yeah. Black peppercorns.
Like bush?
Vine.
Vine.
Okay, and then I'll ask you two more, okay? So horseradish, what you get wasabi from? Where's that grow?
Ground?
Yep. Cashews?
This is on a tree.
Yes, it is. On a weird little fruit.
Yeah. All right. And you can't eat the fruit.
I don't know if you can.
My understanding is you can't. And you also, fun fact, you actually have to steam cashews once they come out because they can make you really sick. So you're actually, like, even raw cashews technically get, like, steamed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just learned that in a book this weekend also.
All right, last one. Almonds.
Almonds.
Where they grow?
Grow in a tree.
They do grow in a tree. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've done so well on where things grow.
Oh my god, that was
grow.
So stressful.
Was it?
Yeah,
really?
I didn't like it.
I don't know anybody who could de-stress you or anything. Like,
I'm just going to go home.
Pay you for a massage or something? I have no idea.
Oh.
Yeah. So, now that you're stressed out, we're going to talk about
Let's
upcoming events.
Let's talk about
events.
Some less stress that's happening tonight.
Yeah, less stress happening tonight. So tonight, we are having our 35th birthday party.
Woo!
So, CFD, 16th, we are turning 35, and at 6 p.m. tonight at the Olympia Center, come on down, tickets are available to come see us in our film festival.
Be complete dorks on stage while we show you funny films, there'll also be drinks, there'll be
trivia,
there'll also be prizes. You can win some cool stuff, so come on down and have a good time with us.
Yeah, and if anybody is interested in some of the t-shirts that we've worn in our videos or just throughout the years of the CFD, we have shirts available, retro shirts, from these videos. So if you're interested in that, that'll be online soon, but you can definitely come down and get them tonight.
Yep.
Then, in just a few days, the Rainiers. We're having a CFD Rainiers game, July 19th.
If you're looking for tickets, you can find those on our website to contact the Rainiers to get those specifically. Proceeds will go to the Combined Fund Drive.
Fact. A few days later, July 26th, is the L&I Golf Tournament. It's at Capital City Golf Course, and that starts at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then on July 30th is the L&I Flower Sale.
Woohoo!
So the flower sale is awesome, and it is going to be on Linderson at the L&I headquarters.
Yep.
Come on down for that.
Super fun.
That is also where we're going to be on July 30th because we start our very first local coordinator training.
Heck yeah.
So all you volunteers out there who need to get trained up, that's the first one. You'll see...
Make sure you're
links are
up.
Out there, so if you aren't signed up yet, feel free to get signed up now, and if you have questions, just reach out to us. We're going to be doing trainings all over the state.
And if you're, again, a campaign leader, make sure you contact your local coordinator to get them signed up.
That's right. Get these people in so they know exactly what to do when it comes to CFD.
Whoop, whoop.
So, again, great, great podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks
it's
to...
It's been so great.
Has it been so great?
Being with you.
Oh my
today,
gosh.
Being able to do a podcast.
I'm so glad you're so happy.
I just, like, really appreciate your friendship.
I am so awkward. Awkward turtle, awkward hands. I don't know what to do with my hands. Thank you, Jerrica. I enjoy your friendship and appreciate you. And I love that you stepped in for Philip.
Of course.
On a podcast.
You know, he's always so busy with work.
Well, shout out. Thanks again to Kara and Michaela. Thank you, Jerrica Ferguson.
Thank
and
you.
Philip, we'll see you sometime, I guess.
Maybe.
It's my podcast. On that note, have a great day.
See ya.